This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala man bu'itha rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I am your brother Abu Abdissalam, speaking to you live from the blessed city of Mecca. That is Mecca al Mukarrama. And today we're going to be talking about a very important topic, actually. And it is to do with the second of the two shahadatain. So we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so if we bear witness that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his messenger, and part of that is to, you know, make sure that we obey him, obey the Prophet ﷺ, we, you know, believe in what he came with, etc., then we need to know how, you know, is a hadith authentic or not authentic? Because very often we hear people discussing, or we see scholars have a difference of opinion. And one scholar might say a hadith is authentic, another scholar might say it's not authentic. And so we want to know, and this is the question we're going to try and address, inshallah, in today's show. We want to know, how do we know if a hadith is authentic or not? What are the criteria for a hadith to be authentic? Now, let me know, guys, in the chat, if you can hear me. If you can see me, I'm just going to look through. We have Madusa says hi, wa alaikum hi. Nazam says salamu alaikum. Raihan says salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to all of you. We have Chigdem says ahlan wa sahlan from Turkey. Halima says salamu alaikum, son from Lahore. MashaAllah, so lots of people are live. So hopefully, can you guys see me and hear me perfectly fine? Let me know in the chat, insha'Allahu ta'ala. So we're going to be addressing this topic of, you know, how do we know if a hadith is authentic or not? But before we do that, I want to talk about something very important, and that is, you know, we know that we have to follow the Quran because this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why do we have to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why do we have to follow? What is the proof? What is the evidence that we need to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now let me know, guys, in the chat box, in the comments, if you guys can, you know, hear me. And also let me know where you are speaking from. Because I always like to read the comments and know where you guys are speaking from. And if you want to join us, by the way, in this live, what you can do, I'm just about to paste a link in the comments. What you can do is join the Discord server, okay? Let me just show you what that looks like. Let's hope this works. Okay, there you go. We can see, hopefully you should be able to see on your screens, this is our Discord server room, and I'm just going scrolling up and down. Now, it is a little bit confusing, but if you see here, once you click on the link, it's totally free, by the way. When you click on the link, you can come into this general chat here, right? This is the general chat. Up here, you have the rules, the announcements, welcome. Here, this is the general chat, right? And in here, you've got lots of people. You can see all these members here talking away, right? And we, you know, we just, and I hang out in there every now and then as well. And then here we have Ask AA Questions. So in here, you can ask your questions. And today's video, if you notice, is based on a question from this brother called Raihan Al-Ahmad. And you can also post some video ideas over here. So we'll try and do some of these videos. And you can see a stream of all the live videos and the non-live. Now, here's the interesting one. I'm not going to click on this, but if you click on this waiting room, right, then you will enter into a room. And then when we want to bring on a guest, we can, you know, move you from the waiting room to the Ask AA live call, right? So then you can actually participate in this show live with audio or video. And if there are any guests later on today, we'll try and bring them in, inshallah. But in a nutshell, that is the Discord server. Very simple. It'll take you 30 seconds to install it and come into the channel. And, you know, we hang out after the show. I'll be in there after the show as well, inshallah. So if any of you guys want to join us in there, please do click on the link. I've sent it again in the comments or the chat box. And just come in, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, guys? So, coming back to the question that we were talking about earlier. And that question was, why do we have to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The reason is very simple. We know that, of course, we have to follow Allah and the Quran, because the Quran is the book of Allah, and Allah is our creator, and He's the one who created us, sustains us, and Allah is the one, you know, the Quran is His book, and anything that He says in that book, we have to obey, we have to follow, we have to believe. And part of that, my dear brothers and sisters, part of that is when Allah says in the Quran, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ, obey Allah and obey the messenger, right? أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ, obey Allah and obey the messenger. And of course, the messenger is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another ayah of the Quran, Allah says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the messenger gives you, then take it, and whatever he prohibits you from, then leave it. You know, and there are many, many ayat of the Quran. I've just given you two, but there are many ayat of the Quran that obligate us. They make it mandatory upon us to follow whatever Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. So how do we know? Of course, if you were in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, because you can hear what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, right? And subhanAllah, what you find is that some of the Sahaba like Umar ibn al-Khattab and others, obviously, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, obviously they had to earn a living, right? They had to go out and they had to earn a living. But despite that, what you find is that they still wanted to, you know, learn what is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching. So they, some of them, some of the Sahaba, they would have a deal with someone else, right? They'll say, listen, one day you will earn, and you will look after, you know, whatever the job is that we're doing, and I will go and seek knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the other day, we will swap. I will go and earn, and you will go and seek knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this tradition continued. Even after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had you had the tabi'in. They would go to the Sahaba and say, hey, I heard that you had one hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is that hadith that you heard? And some scholars would travel, you know, literally thousands of miles just for one hadith. Just for one hadith. And among them, of course, was Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, and other scholars as well. An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, you know, and so on and so forth. So these scholars, of course, they came later on, right? And many of these scholars of hadith, they would travel far and wide just to be able to get one hadith, all right? So this shows how important it is, you know, to seek knowledge. And, you know, sometimes we get bored when we're seeking knowledge, right? We think, oh, I've heard it before, I don't need to know this. And yet, what did Allah say in the Quran? Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. We are indeed going to give you and, you know, give you a heavy word. A heavy word. What does that mean? That means that this Quran is heavy. It's not something light. It's not something we just take lightly. It is something heavy. And of course, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, one of the early Muslim scholars, he used to say that anytime I hear a hadith, Even if I've heard that hadith many times, I would listen to it as if it is the very first time that I am hearing this hadith. In other words, he's going to pay full attention to what is being said. Why? Because Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila, verily we will give you a very weighty word. And of course that's referring to the Quran, but the sunnah, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ explains the Quran. Okay, the sunnah explains the Quran. Okay, so my brothers and sisters, the key point here is that Allah tells us, Allah is the one who tells us to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, wa ma ataakum ar-rasulu fakhudhuhu wa ma nahaakum anhu fantahu. Whatever the Messenger gives you, then take it. Whatever he prohibits you from, then leave it. Okay, guys? So this is really important. But how do we know if a hadith is authentic? Now, you have a number of different conditions for a hadith to be authentic. Now, our religion, Islam, is absolutely phenomenal, right? Our religion of Islam is really, really amazing because it has something called the isnad. No other religion has this concept of isnad. What is isnad or sanad? Isnad or sanad literally means that it is a chain, all right? It's a chain. Imagine, it's basically a chain of narration. You have, for example, I heard from, Abdullah, who heard from Fatima, who heard from Aisha, who heard from, Abdurrahman, for example, right? This is called a chain of narration. And what you find is that no other religion has a chain of narration. When the early Muslim scholars, they used to collect the hadith, they would obviously memorize them and they would write them down. And when they wrote them down or memorized them, they would not just memorize the text of the hadith, they would also memorize the chain of narration. So Imam Malik, for example, right? Imam Malik an Anas, sorry, Malik an Nafi' an Ibn Umar. So this is called a golden chain, right? Because you have Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he hears from Nafi', who was his teacher. And Nafi' was the student and servant of Abdullah ibn Umar. And Nafi' hears it from Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he hears it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a chain of narration. Okay, so this is a chain of narration. From Nafi', from Ibn Umar, who got it from the Prophet ﷺ, right? Now, this is called a chain of narration. Now, when you look at even the Bible, like the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we don't even know the surnames of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We don't even know who they are. There's, what's the biography of these people? When did they die? When did they live? Who did they meet? Did they have strong memories? We don't know anything about them. We know very little about them. Whereas, when it comes to the major books of hadith, you find that almost every single narrator in these chains of narration, there's a biography of these people, right? So scholars went through painstaking tasks. They literally dedicated their lives to write a biography for every single person in these chains of narration, right? In Bukhari, in Muslim, in, the other books of hadith. And so they would look at Imam Malik, for example, and they'd say, okay, and there would be certain conditions. They would see, does he fulfill certain conditions? And does the text of the hadith fulfill certain conditions? So we're going to talk about those conditions. And when we talk about an authentic hadith, it has five conditions, according to the overwhelming majority of scholars. Now, before we talk about those five conditions, I'm going to just quickly have a look at the comments. We have lots of salams from everybody. Ramzi, Amir, Nurul, Noora, Jahangir, Rahana, Muhammad Al-Saidi, Halima, Muhammad Shailia, Bhat Ayat, Muhammad Izzuddin, Muhammad Muhid ibn Muhiduddin. MashaAllah. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all of you. You got Saeed Anam from Southampton, MashaAllah. We got Jigdem, we have from Turkey, Muhammad Malik from Coventry. We have Sophia there. We have Majdi from Chicago. We have Muhammad Musa from Omaha, Nebraska, MashaAllah. We have someone from Bangladesh. I can't read Bengali writing. I think that's what it is. So I can't read the name. We have Muhammad Shailia says, Sheikh, I'm 14 years old. MashaAllah. Also, we have Mahbub Hussein. We have, who else do we have? We have Shu'aizab. We have Ramzi, we have Hira from Pakistan, we have Muhammad Tawheed Hussein. MashaAllah, a few questions there. Guys, if you want to write your questions, please put them in the Discord server. Okay, let me just show you where to put them once again. Right, if you go to the Discord server, you can see here, there's a channel here called Ask AA Questions. So you can put your questions in there and inshallah, we'll try and answer them. Insha'Allahu ta'ala. Okay, guys. All right, so what are these five conditions for an authentic hadith, for a hadith to be sahih? Now, there's a very famous poem. It's one of the primers of Mustalah al-Hadith, the definitions for hadith, and it's called Al-Bayquniyah. It's one of the early books that we studied, one of the first books we studied. And it's called Al-Bayquniyah. In there, he says, أَوَّلُهَا الصَّحِيحُ وَهُوَ مَتَّصَلُ إسناده ولم يشذ أو يعل يرويه عدل ثابت عن يرويه عدل ضابط عن مثله معتمد في ضبطه ونقله. Right, and I'll explain what this means shortly. Let me just read it again. أولها الصحيح وهو ما اتصل إسناده ولم يشذ أو يعل يرويه عدل ضابط عن مثله معتمد في ضبطه ونقله. So what does this mean? In these two kind of lines, this scholar, he has summarized the five conditions of an authentic hadith, right? Five conditions for a hadith to be authentic, okay? Number one, he talks about, he says basically before these verses, he says that there are, you know, multiple, there are different types of hadith, right? Different gradings of hadith, different, and the first of those is sahih. And there are three kind of main broad categories, and then each of these categories can be further categorized into multiple categories, right? But we're going to keep it simple. We're going to keep it a primer. We're not going to go into so much detail that people can't understand. So we're going to try and make it easy. And those of you who already are advanced students, this is not for you. This is really a basic primer, okay? So you have three different types of hadith. Number one, sahih. Number two, hasan. And number three is da'if, right? Sahih is authentic. Hasan is good. So it's a lower level than sahih, but it's still acceptable. And then you have da'if, which is weak. And we do not accept weak hadith, right? I mean, there are exceptions to that rule. Sometimes we can accept weak hadith. Sometimes multiple weak hadiths come together to strengthen it, to become hasan, etc., etc., etc. There are lots of exceptions to this rule. Sometimes in a'mal, some scholars allow it. We're not talking about any of that. Right now, all we're doing is we're just giving a primer. So three main categories of hadith. Number one, sahih. Number two, hasan. Number three, da'if. Authentic, good or sound. Authentic, good or weak. All right? Now, how do we know that a hadith is sahih? The scholar says, مَتَّصَلْ إِسْنَادُهُ وَلَمْ يُشَذْ وَلَمْ يُعَلْ يَرْوِيهِ عَدْلٌ ضَابِطٌ. So he mentions, عَنْ مِثْلِهِ مُعْتَمَدٌ فِي ضَبْطِهِ وَنَقْلِهِ. So he mentions five different conditions, right? Number one, أَوَّلُهَا صَحِيحُ وَهُوَ مَتَّصَلْ إِسْنَادُهُ. The first type of hadith he's talking about is sahih. And then he defines it. What is sahih? Sahih mattasala isnaduhu. The sahih hadith is that hadith where the chain of narration, the first condition is that the chain of narration has to be connected. So if you take the example that we gave before, Malik, Nafi', Ibn Umar, the Prophet ﷺ. These four people in the chain of narration have to be connected. What does it mean to be connected? Meaning they must have got that, like for example, if one scholar, you know, is born in the year 80, and the person that he's supposed to have listened to the hadith from, died in the year 70 after Hijrah, then it's impossible that these two could, that the one who was born in 80 could have heard from the one who was born in the year 70 after Hijrah. It's impossible because he wasn't born, right? He was born 10 years after that one was dead, right? So this hadith would not be connected if that was the case, right? So, but in the case of Malik, Nafi', Ibn Umar, the Prophet ﷺ, we know that Malik met Nafi' and heard from him. We know that Nafi' met Ibn Umar and heard from him, hadith. And Ibn Umar heard, of course, from the Prophet ﷺ. So the first condition of an authentic hadith is that this chain of narration has to be what? It has to be connected. Meaning that they, you know, they hear from each other. Now, some scholars, like Imam al-Bukhari, he wanted a higher level of authenticity. So he wants to not only have the possibility that they met, but he wants evidence that they actually met. So he wants to show, like he wants something that is evidence. Like he wants to, them to say, حَدَّثَنِي فُلَان, that so-and-so actually told me. As an example, I mean, there's a long detail. And Imam Muslim, he did not necessarily put that as a condition that, you know, that we have to know for certain that they met. What we have to do is we have to, as long as there's a very strong possibility that they met and he says that, then it's fine. Okay? And you'll see why, because there are other conditions. And most scholars accepted Imam Muslim's point of view for a hadith to be authentic. But Imam Bukhari, his book is higher in authenticity than Imam Muslim's. And Imam Muslim's is higher than the others, right? And the reason is very simple. It's because the criteria was much greater in their eyes. Not for an authentic hadith, but for a hadith to be put in their books, right? It doesn't mean that anything that's not in their books, they didn't deem it to be authentic. No. It just means that they wanted their criteria to be pretty high. And Imam Bukhari's was higher than Muslim's, and Muslim's was higher than others. And that's why when you see a hadith in Bukhari or Muslim, straight away you know they're authentic. Pretty much, by and large. Whereas some of the other books, they're not always authentic. You can get weak hadiths in them. And that's why many scholars have talked about the authenticity of those hadiths in those other books. So the first condition, right? The first condition of authentic hadith, for a hadith to be sahih, مَتَّصَلَ إِسْنَادُهُ, that which the isnad, the chain of narration, is connected. Right. مَتَّصَلَ إِسْنَادُهُ وَلَمْ يُشَدَّ أَوْ يُعَلْ. And the second and third condition is that the hadith must not be shadh and not have an illah in it. Now these two conditions we're going to talk about later. Right? The author of this book, he put it in this order because of poetry. Right? For the sake of the poetic license. But it kind of makes more sense to talk about the final two conditions that he mentions before we talk about these two. Because they're connected to the first condition. The first condition, the hadith has to be, the isnad, the chain of narration has to be connected. The next condition that we're going to talk about, يَرْوِيهِ عَدْلٌ ضَابِطٌ عَنْ مِثْلِهِ مُعْتَمَدٌ فِي صِدْقِهِ وَنَقْلِهِ. Right? So, he says that in each part of the chain of narration, the person who's narrating it, he has to be adl and he has to be dabit. So these are condition number 2 and 3. He has to be adl and he has to be dabit. An mithlihi, like each person in the chain of narration has to be adl and dabit. What does adl and dabit mean? Adl is to do with his religious piety, right? This person in the chain of narration has to be religiously sound. He can't be an open, you know, fasiq, a corrupt person. And what is the definition of adl? right? The person who is adl, there is, what is the definition of this? The definition of adl is that the person, he does the good deeds, right? He does the obligations. يَتَّقِ الْكَبَائِرَ يَجْتَنِبَ الْكَبَائِرَ وَيَتَّقِ مُعْذَمَ الصَّغَائِرَ. Right, he does the obligations, right? But also he keeps away from the major sins in totality, and he keeps away from most of the minor sins. Now, it's interesting that the ulama, they did not say he keeps away from all the minor sins, because they know that every human being, he sins. Even a carrier of hadith can sin. But they're for you to be a carrier of hadith, you have to avoid major sins. And also, you have to avoid most of the minor sins. If you fall into a minor sin, then you would still, your hadith would be acceptable to most of the scholars. But you can't do that major sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, right? So, this is the definition of adl, right? So, the first condition, we said the isnad has to be connected. The second condition is that every person in the chain of narration has to be adl. He needs to be religiously sound and upright, okay? And that means he keeps away from the major sins and he keeps away from most of the minor sins. Number three, he has to be dhabit. يَرْوِيهِ عَدْلٌ ضَابِطٌ عَنْ مِثْلِهِ مُعْتَمَدٌ فِي ضَبْطِهِ وَنَقْلِهِ. So each part of the chain has to be narrated by each, has to be a narrator who is adl and he's religiously upright and he's also dabit. What does dabit mean? Dabit means that he is precise. He is precise. يَرْوِيهِ عَدْلٌ ضَابِطٌ عَنْ مِثْلِهِ. And each person in the chain has to be like this. And he has to be well known, or he has to be relied upon. You can rely upon him. مُعْتَمَدٌ فِي ضَبْطِهِ وَنَقْلِهِ. You need to be able to rely on him in his precision and his naql and his ability to relate or narrate this hadith. Okay, that's what that means. So what is a dabt? What is this dabit person? We said that he's precise, okay? He's precise, okay, but what does it mean to be precise? To be precise means that you have to have a strong memory if you are relaying it by memory. And to be precise, if you are not relaying it by memory, because some scholars, they accepted written testimony also in hadith, but they said that this person has to be precise when he writes something down. So sometimes a scholar may be dabit, he may be precise when he's narrating from his book, but he's not precise when he's narrating from his memory. So in this case, the scholars would only accept those hadith which he's narrating from his book, but not from his memory. And likewise, you have the other way around. Some people, they might have a really strong memory, but maybe they also wrote down some hadiths, but they're not great at writing. Or maybe they lost certain books, or the books may have been tampered with. In this case, we would accept their hadith from the ones they said off heart by memory, but not the ones that they had written down. And then there are other things as well to take note of. So for example, we might have a narrator of hadith that you take everything that he narrated before, you know, the age of 70. And then after the age of 70, he became, he lost his memory, or he suffered from, you know, he's not narrating as precisely as before or whatever. So then you won't take the hadith that he narrates after the age of 70 or whatever age. I just made up that number, okay? So you have certain people. Then you have certain people that the books might be authentic, but those books may have been stolen or they might have been tampered with. So therefore, we don't accept this hadith, right? So there are two types of dabt. Dabt al-sadr wa dabt al-kitaba. There are two types of precision. Precision of the chest, of the heart and mind, meaning that, you know, he knows it off heart, all right? He knows it from memory. And dabt al-kitaba, which is he's precise when he's writing. So like I said, each of those have their various, they have their various rules and regulations and guidelines with regards to that. يَرْوِيهِ عَدْلٌ ضَابِطٌ عَنْ مِثْلِهِ مُعْتَمَدٌ فِي ضَبْطِهِ وَنَقْلِهِ. So each part of the chain has been narrated by an adal, religiously upright, and a dabit, person who is, you can depend on him. You can depend on him. He can be relied upon in his precision and his narrating. Okay. And then we go back. So these are the first three conditions. The isnad, the chain of narration, has to be connected. It has to be narrated by a person who's religiously sound. And it has to be a person who is, precise. Number four is that لم يشذ ولم يعل. Right? Now, the number four and number five, لم يشذ لم يعل. Number four means that the hadith should not be shadh. And what does shadh mean? Shadh means like it's something strange. It's different. Linguistically, that's what it means. It means something strange, something different. But in this context, what does shadh mean? Shadh means that this person has not narrated something that goes against man huwa awla bih. Right? He hasn't gone against someone who is much stronger than him. Like, and this could be in number or in hifth or whatever. So for example, you might have a narrator. And this narrator narrates something. But the narrator, by and large, he is an authentic narrator, right? He's generally an authentic narrator. However, 10 other narrators who are also authentic have gone against what he said. They're narrating the same event, for example. And those 10, they narrate in a particular way. This one, he narrates it in a different way. Then we reject that one. Why? Because as humans can make mistakes, even if you're authentic. So because he's gone against like 10 other people, and this is just an example, this number 10 is an example, could be 3-4 strong people, then we reject that, and that hadith is not authentic. It might go down to hasan, or it might go down even to da'if, to good or weak, right? Depending, there's lots of different criteria, but it would not be considered to be a strong, sound, authentic, sahih hadith. Okay, so the hadith has to be free from shadh. The narrator can't go against 10 other people, or you have maybe two people. One is like a low level of authenticity, but the other one is a really high level of authenticity, and so he's gone against him. So normally we would go with the one who has a stronger memory, as an example, okay? So there are lots of examples of shadh. Shadh can also be in the text, right? Shadh could be, for example, the examples I gave are pretty much, they can be in the text as well, so I don't need to go into more detail. So that was the fourth condition. So number one, the hadith cannot be, the isnad, the chain of narration, has to be connected. Number two, it has to be narrated by someone who is adl, upright, at every stage of the chain of narration. Has to be someone at every stage of the chain of narration who is precise. And number four is that the hadith must not be shadh, right? And this shadh can be in the matan, in the text of the hadith. It can be in the isnad as well, but that is a bit more advanced. Number five, the hadith must not have an illah in it. What is an illah? An illah is a hidden defect. And really, the first four conditions, most scholars of hadith can talk about, right? They can look at and, quite easily know if those four conditions exist. This fifth condition is the really hard one. And top scholars of hadith are the ones that really know about this topic of illah. What is illah? Illah is a hidden defect. And again, this can be in the isnad or it can be in the matan itself, in the text of the hadith. Let me give you an example of illah. Let's say Abdurrahman narrates from Abu Abdissalam, from me, okay? Obviously, it's not a hadith, but I'm just giving you the example of a chain of narration. Abdurrahman narrates from me. Now, we might look at Abdurrahman, and Abdurrahman might be authentic. And he's narrating from Abu Abdissalam. So we say, okay, this hadith is fine. And most scholars would just look at it like that. But then we look at this and we say, well, hold on a minute. Abdurrahman is narrating this hadith and he says, in the year 2015, Abu Abdissalam said, and then he mentions the hadith, or the narration, sorry, the text. many people would say, okay, yes, we know that Abdurrahman met Abu Abdus Salam, so you know the isnad is connected and all of that. But then some top scholars who really, you know, they look at the holistic picture and they look at loads and loads of different narrations and stuff. They also see another narration that says that Abdurrahman says, I met Abu Abdus Salam in 2019 at Hajj time. So he met him in 2019, but he's narrating something that he's supposed to have said in 2015. This is a hidden defect. This is an illah. So top scholars of hadith would look at something like this, and obviously this is just an example, and they would say, hey, there's an illah in this hadith, so we cannot accept this. It cannot be authentic as sahih, but it might be a lower thing. So in summary, the five conditions of a hadith. Number one, the hadith has to be, you know, the hadith, and Muhid, I can see that you're waiting, so inshallah, just stay in that waiting room. I'm going to bring you in, inshallah, shortly. Number one, the hadith has to be connected. The isnad has to be connected. Number two, every person in the chain of narration has to be upright. Number adl. Number three, everyone in the chain of narration has to be precise and have a good memory, or you know, precise in their writing. Number four, there should not be any shadh, you know, shudud in that hadith. There shouldn't be anything that goes against something that is much more worthy of being followed than that, in terms of number or strength of hifth or whatever. And number five, it should not have any hidden defects. And there are many different types of hidden defects. Imam al-Tirmidhi mentions, he has a book called Al-Ilal, and Ibn Rajab has explained that, Sharh Ilal al-Tirmidhi. And there are other books like that as well. Okay, I'm going to take a call. Oh, I've just switched this off. Why have I done this? One second. Switch it back on. Okay, I think hopefully this should work. Let's bring Muhiduddin. Let's bring him in. Muhiduddin, salamu alaykum. Can you hear me? You're going to have to unmute yourself though. Are you there, Muhid? I don't know if he's there by accident or what. I don't know where Muhid is. Muhid, when you're there, let me know. Okay, let's have a look at some of the comments. Hair cutting, as yours, is prohibited in India and Pakistan, as it's against the Sunnah according to them. Okay, I mean, I explained the trimming of the hadiths in previous videos. You can have a look at those. You can search for that in the YouTube, inshallah. Muhammad Tawheed Hussein says, brother, is watching football like the English Premier League or La Liga, is it haram? Now, some scholars have said it is haram. They might use the example of awra being between the navel and the knees, etc. And other scholars who do not believe the awra includes the thighs, they would argue that it is fine to watch football because that does not come under the major awra. So there is a difference of opinion among that. But the key thing is that we don't make this our life. We don't go overboard. Of course, it's fine to have some fun and inshallah watch it, etc. But let's not, you know, we can also have banter and whatever, but we should not have hatred in our hearts based on that. Muhid, I noticed you're unmuted. Could you speak? I can't actually hear you though. Oh, hold on. I'm not even in the room. One sec. That might help. My fault. Muhid, can you speak? Can you hear me, Muhid?
Yeah, brother.
Okay, mashallah. Can you guys hear Muhid? Let me know in the chat. Muhid, what was your question? Did you have a question?
Yeah.
Before you do that, though, tell us where you're from.
I'm from Bangladesh, Dhaka.
Mashallah, you're speaking all the way from Bangladesh in Dhaka.
It's a pleasure.
Mashallah, awesome. And how did you find out about the show?
From your YouTube channel, actually.
Mashallah. Let's see if we can bring you in. Can you, hold on. Do you want to put your video on?
Nah.
Okay, no problem, inshallah. We'll keep it like that. Do you have a question, Muhid? Before we do that, how old are you?
15 years.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. We have a young brother, Muhid, here, 15 years from Dhaka in Bangladesh. Let's just make sure that we can hear. Yes, I think people can hear. Can you guys hear? I don't know if you guys can hear Muhid. Anyway, Muhid, let me know. What's your question, bro?
Okay, my first question is, in Bangladesh, we have quite a one-day difference than time of Saudi. So the day of Arafah in Saudi is when it is 9 Zilhijjah. So in Bangladesh, it is 8 Zilhijjah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So most of the people in our country follow the Saudi time and they fast according to Saudi time mm-hmm. in 8 Zilhijjah.
Right.
But shouldn't we fast in 9 Zilhijjah? Because the Arafah is 9 Zilhijjah.
Right. That's a very good question, actually. That's a very good question. So what he's saying, what the brother is saying, the question is basically that in Bangladesh, the moon was not sighted, the moon for Dhul Hijjah was not sighted. It was not sighted, at the same time as it was sighted in Saudi Arabia, where in Mecca, of course, Hajj takes place. So what should they do? Should they fast on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, which is equivalent to the 9th of Dhul Hijjah in Arafah? Or should they fast on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah for them, which of course would be Eid for people here? Now, the ulama of Islam, they have actually differed on this point, right? They have actually differed on this point. And the reason why, there are a number of differences of opinion on this point. One of the points that they differed on was, should we follow the global sighting or should we follow the local sighting, right? So if the moon has been sighted everywhere around, anywhere in the world, should we, wherever we are in the world, should we follow that? Or, the moon, or we have to look at the moon in our local area, in our local city or local country or governorate or something like this. And as I said, this is a valid difference of opinion. I actually follow the opinion that we should go with the local sightings, okay? However, many scholars follow other views. And there is a third opinion, especially when it comes to Eid al-Adha, is that you follow that which is happening at Hajj, right? So you follow the Mecca, what they're doing in Mecca. So there are these three different opinions. Now, depending on those three different opinions, then comes the issue about whether we fast on the 8th or whether we fast in the 9th. Now, what I say is this. If it's that way round, where you're one day before, then there's no harm in you fasting on the 8th as well as the 9th. Okay, so then you're kind of sure that you have got Yawm al-Arafah, right? That you're fasting with the Hujjaj and also, because it's not Eid for you, right? And also you're fasting on the 9th in relation to your particular time, okay? Just to be on the safe side. But like I said, this is a difference of opinion among the ulama. And the best thing to do in matters like this is to follow your local scholars, right? Follow the local masjid or the local scholars, because they will be able to, they will be able to give you the view locally. And why is this important? It's because for the sake of unity. Unfortunately, what we have is that sometimes we have people that in the very same household, you've got the parents are following Pakistan or India or Bangladesh or, Morocco or whatever, right? And the children might be following Saudi Arabia or whatever. Guys, Eid is about unity. And unity, it doesn't matter if someone across the world is doing Eid on another day. But you in your family, in your locality, etc., you need to be, having some form of unity, okay? And there are many examples of the Sahaba, that even if you hold a different view. So for example, I hold the view that there should be local sighting. However, if I'm in a country where they follow the view to follow the global sighting, then I will follow that view. I will put aside my view and follow the view of the majority of that country, right? Why? Because this is better for unity and because this is an issue of difference of opinion, valid difference of opinion among the ulama of Islam. Okay, so I hope that answers your question, Muhid. Okay?
Yeah.
Jazakallah khair. Let's take some more questions from the from the chat. We have, but I'm going to give precedence always to those people on Discord. Oh my God, there's a whole essay here. Rehan says, Sheikh, are you Bengali? I'm not actually, no. Crazy Rashid has given a whole essay. Crazy Rashid, I don't think that's a question. I can't see that as a question. So I'm not going to answer that, but if anyone wants to see it, they can see it. Let me just leave this channel. Okay. We have Mas'ud says, MashaAllah. Muhammad says, Salam. Firasi, I think. I can't see it. It's so tiny. From Philippines, MashaAllah. Wa alaikum as-salam to both of you. Muhammad Shaili says, Sheikh, are you mad with me? No, I'm not mad. Why would I be mad, my brother? Of course not. Abdurrahman, when he was reciting, I like it, mashallah. Yes, he was good. I wonder if he's around. Abdurrahman, where are you if you're around? We have, may all of us make dua and salah for our brothers in Lebanon. That's right, Muhammad Izzuddin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of them, all the people in Lebanon, Muslims and non-Muslim, who have been affected by that really terrible calamity, unfortunately. May Allah make it easy for them. Ameen, Ya Rab. Raqib says, MashaAllah, brother from Bangladesh. Amr says, liking the new swag. All right, Amr. Which Amr is this? And where are you from, brother? Samina says, can a woman wear loose color long shirts with headscarf? If it covers the entire body and it's loose and it covers the inside clothes, then that's fine, inshallah. MashaAllah, very nice. Is Bat Ayat. Muhammad Muzammil says, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Please pray for the recovery of my father, Muhammad Yusuf, who is infected with coronavirus from the last 23 days. Jazakallah khair. Oh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give your father Muhammad Yusuf and all of those who've been affected with corona, all the Muslims, you know, and non-Muslims, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure them and give them a full and complete shifa and quick shifa. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah lift from us this terrible, you know, disease, and may Allah forgive us of our sins. Ameen ya Rab. Abdullah Jailani says, Salam Shaykh, wa alaykum as-salam. MH says, Salam, wa alaykum as-salam. Amr Chowdhury says, he's from Toronto. Ah, Amr, mashallah. Amr is the one, when he was 16 years old, I remember being in Toronto, and I remember I was giving a lecture, and then in that lecture, actually, Amr, can you get on Discord? Let's have a chat, Amr. Get on Discord if you're around, Amr. Get on Discord, click on that link, and come into the waiting room, Amr. But anyway, Amr was 16 years old in that time, and he was reading for me, mashallah. He has a lovely Canadian accent. He kept saying water, which drove me mad because it's water. But one thing that he did, I was in the speaker's room in the breaks, and then I remember we started talking about social media, and I think this was going back 2010, if I'm correct. And at that time, I think we just recently, someone had created this Facebook page for me. And in that very time, Amr, come into the waiting room. Come into the waiting room. It's one of the channels on the left. So in that time, Amr, I asked Amr, I was like really confused. What is this Facebook? I just get these emails and it says, you know, so-and-so has befriended you and all this. And Amr gave me a whole, you know, tutorial on what is Facebook, how Facebook works and everything. And because of that, I was able to, I'm live today because of that. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. Amr, get in the live call. Get in the waiting room, Amr. Can you hear me, Amr? Let me try and tag him. Hold on. Ah. Amr Chowdhury. How do you do this?
I don't even know how to do this. Waiting room.
Amr, are you there?
Okay, I don't know where he is.
He came into the Discord, but he's not. Oh, he said, one sec, I'm coming. Okay. Let's have a look at some more questions in the meantime, or some comments rather. Let me know, guys, where are you watching from? Let me know the city where you are watching from, and also what time it is, so I know, inshallah. Mehwar says, Salam Sheikh, waiting for COVID test results. Please make dua for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa alaykum salam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give you a negative result so that you don't have COVID. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. MH, can you please make dua for my grandmother? She's not well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her shifa, also a quick and full recovery. Ameen, ya Rab. And also my uncle, actually, in Leicester, he was taken into hospital yesterday. So I would request all of you to make dua for him. His name is Muhammad Abbas, Abbas Mughal. So please, guys, all of you, please do make dua for him. I believe he had a minor heart attack. But alhamdulillah, he's okay. He's speaking and he's back well. And hopefully he'll be discharged, inshallah. So please do make dua for him, inshallah, brothers and sisters. Who else have we got? Bro, long time I have connected with you. YNWA, that's Muhammad Iqbal Budu. MashaAllah, Muhammad Iqbal is saying YNWA, and I think that probably stands for you'll never win again, because he's a Liverpool supporter, I'm guessing. So that means he's never going to win again, inshallah. Okay, let's try and get this on. Amr is in, I think. Let's get him in the call. Assalamu alaikum, Amr. Are you there? Amr, are you there? Amr. Can you hear me? Where is Amr? He's in the call. Amr, speak. Are you speaking? Because we can't hear you. Can anyone else hear
you?
There you go, I can hear you now. Wa alaikum salam. MashaAllah. How are you doing, Amr? Long time. I don't know, there's some crazy delay here. Amr, we can't hear you. You need to speak, Amr.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello. Wa alaikum, hello. Can you not hear me? I don't think he can hear us. Oh, good old technology. Amr, we can hear you when you speak. Okay, you can hear me. So speak then. Oh, it might be some push to talk or something. There's a big delay. No, you need to listen from the Discord, not from the YouTube. Okay, we got loads of technical issues as usual. Let's try and fix this. But slowly, slowly, we're getting there, right, guys? We're getting there. Slowly, slowly, we're fixing one issue at a time. But while we are there, while we are here, I want you guys to, those of you who have not joined the Discord, you can see here, this is the Discord. It's a little bit complicated, right? But here's a general chat on the left. This is the live call. What you need to do, if you want to come in the live show, click on this waiting room and then we can bring you into this live call. And we're chatting away. You can see all these members. We have, you know, all these members here, mashallah. Abu Topi, Amr Chowdhury, all of these guys. Saeed has just popped in. So you guys, you can see that, inshallah. Anyway, Amr, I don't know where you are. So we're going to have to try again later with you, inshallah, in another session. Okay, hold on. Right, where are we? Let's look at some of these comments. Okay, I love you, brother, from Bahrain. Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. That's Sajid Mahmood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whose sake you love me, also love you. And I love you all for the sake of Allah. Achuja says, Assalamu alaikum. And we have B says, good to see you again, Akhi.
Hope you all had a blessed and beautiful day. Yes, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Nihal has given a question. Nihal, post that into the Discord channel. And then inshallah, I'll try and do a video on that, because that I'm going to end the video soon, because there's a match in 4 minutes. And you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to watch that match. So with that, I'm going to say salam to you guys. We're 5-0 up anyway, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, I'm going to go watch the match. Hope you guys are well, inshallah. Hope you enjoyed the show with the five conditions of an authentic hadith. Once again, guys, if you have not subscribed, you know there's a stat that the technical guy has told me, or one of the technical guys has told me, that over 90% of you who watch these shows, you have not subscribed to the channels. So please, please, please subscribe to the channel, and also click on the notification, the bell icon, so you know when I am going live. And please do share these videos. It takes you 2 seconds, but someone else can benefit from that, because Facebook and YouTube and all of these, Instagram and all of that, they spread this knowledge or these videos when you share, like, and all of that stuff. Okay, so it tells their algorithms that, you know, this video is worth watching. So if you enjoyed it, please do that, and share it around in your WhatsApp groups and whatever. It helps us and to get out the good work, inshallah. I have 3 minutes left to get to the TV to watch the match. So I'm your brother Abu Abdissalam, speaking to you live from the blessed city of Mecca. And it's Makkah al-Mukarramah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.